I'd like to greet each one this morning in the wonderful name of Jesus. Thankful for what we heard already this morning, and think of those wonderful words of Jesus that were in our Sunday school lesson today, and the content of that lesson. John said that we beheld his glory full of grace and truth, and there were others that said that never man spake like this man. The words that came from Jesus were gracious words, full of mercy and truth, and all of us have experienced that in some way or other. It's also inspiring to hear Brother Paul sharing devotions this morning. There's something very encouraging about a man with many years telling us to stay at it and not give up. Taking us through the scriptures in that way, I appreciate that. For message this morning, I would like to look at a subject. Afraid I might not keep the attention of quite everyone today because of who the message is directed to. It's a message about child training. Train up a child. Some of you aren't there yet, and some of you are past that stage, but this week I was talking to a friend, and he employs quite a few people. And he said that if people come to him, it's not a problem for him to train people, to teach people that how to use a hammer and a saw and all the tools that a carpenter does, that he's not afraid of teaching people that don't know much or anything about it. But he said that it's a much bigger problem when people come to work for him and do not have moral values, do not have work ethics, do not have honesty, do not have a character that's upbuilding to the other workers, actually a character that can be a concern to him about how it influences other people, other employees. He said that's a much bigger challenge. It's much, much harder to deal with that than to teach someone his trade. And I'm sure the school teachers would probably say the same thing. It's not hard to teach someone addition facts. It's not hard to teach someone sounds. It's not hard to teach someone algebra. Might take effort, but what's hard is if children come to school and have not been taught honesty, have not been taught respect, obedience. Those are the things that are hard. So as I was thinking about that, I thought, what could I preach that would be a building block for our homes? And I won't be preaching very long to you. Understand that I do not have a degree in sociology and whatever all else it takes to understand why people, things people might do to learn the habits of people, but I have a book. I have a book that I'm just going to take us on a little trail through and look at some things that the Word of God has to say about this subject. This book is written. The author of this book is the Almighty God, the one who works all things after the counsel of his will, the one who did not have to counsel with committees or anything like that when he created the universe, when he created us, and when he created the Christian home, when he created families, and placed Adam and Eve in the garden and placed them there as husband and wife. God did not have a committee to confer with. He, in his wisdom, created this as a complete unit. In Bible school this summer, we heard how that the something, when we look, when the evolutionists look at something and they talk about how something evolves, and we know that that's folly, because one missing part in that evolvement would make it impossible for it to function. And we won't go back to that a lot, but I would like just to encourage our young fathers and mothers in the message today. I have memories of times when things that were building blocks to us in as young fathers, as young parents, and those are precious things. I'm thankful for that, but I think it's needful that we continue to look at the Word of God and build our homes on the foundation of God's Word. I'd like to begin by reading three scriptures and then building the message from those scriptures later on. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Proverbs has a lot to say about children and parents. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, here is a promise that has a golden lining to it, that children will not forget the things they have been taught. And even if children at times wander away from the pattern and the path that you have taught them, someday those things will, excuse me, someday those things will come to their remembrance, and hopefully even then yet guide them in the right paths. Second one is in Ephesians 6, verse 4. Ephesians 6, verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture, admonition of the Lord. And then the third one in 2 Timothy 3, 15. 2 Timothy 3, 15. From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. First of all, we'd like to look at the value that the scriptures place on children, and then we'd like to look at the needs that children have. You know, if we do not understand that children have value, then there's probably not a lot of point in spending a lot of time thinking how we want to teach and to train them. So it's very important that we see the value that Scripture places on children. Do the Scriptures give us any indication of how God feels or God looks at children? Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5 say, Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. Children are a gift that God blesses families with. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Children help you to be effective in the work of the kingdom. Children that are taught in the ways of the Lord, children that choose to live for the Lord Jesus and for the kingdom, as arrows in the hand of a mighty man. You know, a hunter that goes out and he would not have any ammunition. What good would it do to go out? How effective would he be? And so children are a gift from God. Children are an extension of yourself into kingdom work. The value that God places on children. We have example of Mother Hannah in 1 Samuel. There where she brought her son to the temple and presented him to priest Eli to work for him in the temple. She says, For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Another indication of the value that is placed on children in the scriptures. She asked for him, she prayed for him, and she saw him as a gift that God had given to her in direct answer to that specific prayer. There's a few verses in Matthew that I want to read that help us see the value that Jesus himself placed on children. Matthew 18, verse 3. Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." And in chapter 19, verse 13 and 14, "Then were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Here Jesus was saying, do not restrain them, do not hold them back, do not resist them from coming to him. And you know, the world is geared on seeing how they can avoid having children, simply avoid this responsibility of parents. But Jesus is saying, do not resist them to come to me. Maybe I'm taking that a little, stretching that a little bit, but that's something that Jesus wants the children to come to him. The disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, suffer them to come to me. Do not resist them, for this is the caliber of people that the kingdom of heaven is made up of. Children have so much to teach us. This morning in the message, we're thinking about teaching them, but Jesus is saying this is the caliber of people that make up the kingdom, people that are humble, people that are teachable. The scriptures and the Lord Jesus himself place a lot of value on children. They are a treasure. They are a gift from God. Next, we'd like to look at what their needs are. And I have three things that I want to look at that are needs of children. They need training, number one. They need an example, and they need teaching. And some of these are very closely connected to each other, but we want to think of those three things. And I'm sure, probably especially for the mothers, they think about all the other things that children need. You know, they need more than just training, teaching an example. They also have many needs when they're born into this world. They come with nothing, and they're very needy, and it's very demanding work, but it's a good work. It's a good work to be involved in. What are the needs? Number one, training. We have the example of the parents of Samson in Judges 13. An angel came to Samson's mother and told her that she would have a son, and she went back and told her husband, Manoah, and he asked her if she asked him how they should teach this child. And later on, the angel came to them again, and they asked the question, how shall we order the child? How shall we do unto him? What are the needs? The need is for teaching. And here there was a young father and mother that were wondering, how shall we do this? How shall we order him? How shall we teach him? Again, it was because they saw a value in this child that they were wondering how they should teach him. So part of this, first of all, we want to look at training. That part still went with the value that's to be placed on children. But we'd like to look at training. The verse in Proverbs 22:6 that we read, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The goal of this training is to impress life-lasting lessons on their lives. And these life-lasting lessons must be made at a very young age. I remember years ago, we were visiting somewhere one time, and there was another family there, and we were talking about training children, and this father said that he thinks that you wait till they can talk to you, till they can tell you what's wrong, and then you start training, till they can reason with you and you can have a dialogue with them. That's when you should start training your children. How many of you fathers agree with that? I think that's way too late to start. I think you can start. I think you should probably have most of the work done till then. And it's not a once and done thing. It's a continual work, but If we wait till then, we've lost a lot of time. We've lost a lot of ground. A child, a baby, does not have to be very old till you feel them start resisting. And that's a nature that they're born with. They're born with a nature to resist eventually. And so it's a disobedient nature. They're born with a nature to be dishonest. I don't know if there's any children that never had to have a lesson on lying. Maybe there are some, but it seems that that's a lesson that sooner or later every child faces the consequences of lying and being dishonest. I remember those lessons myself, and the pain that came as a result of that, and I'm thankful for that pain that was inflicted on me. And the child's nature is also selfish. So how can we train up this child, or counteract or break this bend towards disobedience, towards dishonesty and selfishness? Let's look at some verses in Proverbs. Again, this is from this book that I have that has the counsel of God's own will. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. In plain words, it tells us that all these things that we talked about, dishonesty, cheating, disobedience, selfishness, this is bound up. This is the foolishness that is bound up in the heart of a child. Sooner or later, this is revealed in the child's actions. And the rod of correction, spanking, will drive it far from them. The rod of correction drives these things away. How does it work? It's the counsel of God. It's the counsel of God's word. I cannot explain exactly how it works, but I know that it works. Proverbs 29:15. Again, we're thinking about how we can drive these things out of our children, how we can train them up in a way that they will not depart from. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Again, it's talking about the rod, about spanking, about punishment. And a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. We've seen so many children in grocery stores throwing fits and embarrassing their mothers, when all that would have needed to be done with that is if a child would have been reproved or corrected at home. And I'm not saying your children will never embarrass you, even if you discipline them, even if you train them in God's ways. But the principle is here. A child left to himself brings his mother to shame. A child that is trained brings joy to the hearts of the mother, to the parents. And Proverbs 23, verse 13 and 14. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Again, these verses talk about the rod, about discipline, punishment, about spanking. And this does not cause the child to die, it says. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Now, this principle of discipline needs to be applied for the right in the right spirit. And if I'm angry and I discipline my child, it does not have the same effect as if I understand that this child needs help and I do it out of love. It has to be for a redemptive purpose, not just for a retaliation for what they've done, but for a redemptive person, for a redemptive purpose. And verse 14, thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. You know, I believe that if you discipline a child, unless they cry from that discipline, you probably didn't do it hard enough. And I'm just speaking plainly this morning. But if they don't cry from the pain of the spanking, it probably isn't hard enough. And I've often thought about that as I've spanked their children, and they cry, and I thought about this verse. You know, isn't that the purpose of all this, to bend them away from selfishness, from dishonesty, from what was the other one that we mentioned? Disobedience, to deliver their souls from a path that will take them to hell. Fathers and mothers, remember that when you discipline your child. That is the ultimate purpose of all this work and this effort and this endeavor that you're putting into this project, to deliver their soul from hell. And often, and I also have memories of after the discipline, the little arm that wraps itself around your neck, and just the restful feel of a child that you have just disciplined sitting on your lap. And you wonder, how can this be? The world would say that if you spank them, they're going to be scared of you, but that's not the way it works. Again, it's the counsel of God's will. So children need training. Children also need an example. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, lest they be discouraged. Children need an example to follow. A few months ago, we were at a wedding, sitting at a wedding before the wedding started. And this was not a family from church here, so don't try to figure out who it was. But there was an amusing, not really amusing, it kind of, something that was taking place in front of me there. It was a father and a mother and three or four children. And before the wedding, even when the wedding was starting, when the singers were starting, the father, it was pretty important for him to see what's going on behind him. And it was okay, but he was just turning around. It was sitting right behind him. It was almost a little bit irritating to me. But he was turning around, and his little boy that was maybe three or four was also turning around. But then when, all of a sudden, when it was time to stop turning around, he got serious about this business. And it was time to look the other way, but the little boy still wanted to look back. And kind of started making a scene about this, and he was trying to make him turn around. And it was frustrating to the father, but somehow, to me, it was easy to understand why the little boy was just turning around, because his father had just been turning around so much before the wedding started, but now it was time to shift gears, and really time to shift gears. And it got so bad that he started whimpering, and soon he had to go sit with his mom. I don't even know who this couple was. I'm glad I don't. And it's maybe not a big issue, but the story, the point of the story is the example that we as fathers leave to our children. Sometimes we wonder why this is happening and why, and really we have been that example to them. We are setting an example. They need an example to follow. They will follow an example. They are following an example. Children are not that unreasonable. And so it causes us as fathers to search our hearts about the example that we are leaving to our children. Children are teachable. Children are trainable. They will follow an example. Be that example to them. They need that. Scripture verse in Ephesians 6:4 about not provoking to wrath. What are some of the things that provoke children to wrath? I think it's when we're inconsistent, when we're unpredictable. Those are things that provoke children to wrath. When we say one thing one time and another thing another time, and they don't really know where we're going to come out on things, being unpredictable can be a reason of provoking them to wrath. Another thing that I think is important is, you know, sometimes there's a request made and we really don't like it, but we say yes, but we make them feel like we'd rather say no. That's very discouraging. That's very disheartening to children. It's much better when we as parents, when we say yes and there's nothing more about it, and they feel that what we say yes to, we're okay with and give our blessing to. And if we say we don't like it, we're better off just saying no, and that's the way it is. Too often we're intimidated it's hard for us to say no, but we're much better off saying no and being predictable than to say yes and have them under the feeling that they're doing this, but they still know that it's outside of our favor, outside of our blessing. That's not a good pattern. It's not a good pattern of establishing the way that they think and the way that they relate to life. We're talking about example. They need an example of godliness. They need an example of respect for authority. They need an example of reverence for God and His Word. And some of these things, a lot of these examples, are not so much by the way that we might tell them we want them to perform, but these examples are more by how we perform and how we relate to authority. What our example of godliness is, we're teaching that and impressing that on their lives. And then the third one, teaching that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. That was Paul's words to Timothy. And in Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 to 9, we have the verses there about, I think I'll just turn to those and read those. Deuteronomy 6. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by thy way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. The need of teaching. Teach as you go. Teach as you sit. Teach them from the Word. What is our communication? Is our main communication, our main conversation about people? Is it about happenings or is it about ideas? It's good for me as a father to examine, to think about what the conversation is around the table. You know, we can talk about people and form opinions and talk about how we think about people. Maybe a good pastime, but I don't know that it's always the best thing to do. We can talk about happenings, and again, that can be interesting. We can learn things from happenings, but I think it's good for us. I know it's good for us as fathers to direct our conversations to ideas, to beliefs, and you know, deeper things than just about people and about happenings. And that takes efforts. That's something that I have filled in already, and something that I need to work on. Talk about ideas and things that are deeper than just about other people and about happenings. Like to think a little bit yet about the influence of the Word of God. As was mentioned in that verse in 2 Timothy 3, the Holy Scriptures which are able to make you wise unto salvation. The Holy Scriptures must have a presence in our home. The Holy Scriptures must have a bearing on our teaching program, because the Holy Scriptures are able to produce something in the lives of our children. They're able to make them wise unto salvation. So fathers, it's our responsibility to lead our family in worship and to to lead our family in prayer. And, you know, these things can become formal, but it must be a meaningful experience. We must worship. If we worship, we must worship in spirit and truth. And that's another area that is a challenge sometimes. How do we keep our family worship meaningful and on the right course? Teach them from the Word. The Word is able to produce something in their lives. I think it would be good today in our testimony time if some of the grandfathers would speak into the lives of our families. We have a lot of experience here, and I would be glad to hear from you something that would be a benefit, something that would help to build our homes in the right direction. Parents, you're faced with a large assignment. You're faced with a big task. But this is a task that's given to you from God. It's a task that is not assigned to your children's future employers. It is not assigned to your children's school teachers. It's something that you have been called to do. And it will have its rewards if you are diligent and if you are faithful. And in all that, even then, sometimes our plans and our goals may turn out different than what we thought, but that is not a reason not to have goals and plans and a program, something to follow. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Those thoughts, let's kneel for prayer.